On Sunday, September 27th, there will be a lunar eclipse of a harvest moon. This is the last in a series of eclipses we've seen recently, and we won't have another one until 2019. I'm here with Richard Bell and Mike Sinclair of the Kalamazoo Astronomical Society to talk about it. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's start with, what is a harvest moon?
A harvest moon is just what we call the full moon during September, when you get a big bright moon that's visible all night long. And of course, farmers can go out and harvest their crops.
Yeah, this is a long-running eclipse. How long are we going to, be in this process between seeing the moon and not seeing the moon?
Well, the total eclipse of the moon, that's where it's completely in Earth's shadow, is 72 minutes long, an hour and 12 minutes, and that's pretty impressive. The total eclipse, from the time the very edge of the Earth's shadow, what's known as the penumbra, reaches it, to the end of that time period is over 5 hours. So this is a really long eclipse from start to finish. Although, if you go out and observe it when it hits penumbra, you're not going to see that change in the amount of light coming off the surface of the moon. You really have to wait until you get into the partial part of it.
So do we know about what time you'll really be able to see the eclipse?
Yeah, the eclipse begins about 12 after 8 p.m., of course, but that's when it touches the edge of the penumbra. And as it moves into the penumbra, the shading is extremely slight. It'll be about 30 minutes later, probably till about 8:50, until you start noticing, some darkening on the moon. But the really exciting stages don't begin until about 7 after 9. That's when the moon begins to move into the umbra. And just a short time after that, like even a few minutes, you're going to notice some darkening on the moon. So about after 9 is when it really gets going, and then it'll be starting at about 10, 11, I think. And then, like Mike said, it's completely in the umbra for about 72 minutes, and that's the really exciting part when it really begins to darken and then turn like the orange-red color.
Why do we see this orange-red color?
Well, that's actually a refraction of sunlight through the Earth's atmosphere. So the Earth, to some extent, you could argue or you could say that the atmosphere of the Earth is like a magnifying glass. It kind of bends light around a little bit because of refraction. Light hits the atmosphere, bends a little bit. When it comes out, it bends again. And when you've got the shadow of the Earth itself centered over the moon, any residual light from refraction then is observed reflecting off the moon, and it gives it this really distinctive kind of dark copper color or blood red, kind of depending on your point of view and how you see colors. But it's a really dynamic image, and having it this long is really exciting for us.
Kind of a more colorful way to say it is the orangey color of the moon is caused by all the sunsets and sunrises that ring around the Earth at that time. So that's kind of a neat way to think about
that's
it.
That's a really cool way to say
it. Very poetic.
I'm stealing that, by the way.
Now, before we started talking, we were joking a little bit about the supermoons that we've been supposedly been seeing lately. Is this not going to be a supermoon?
It is. It's going to be what has become known as a supermoon, but astronomers just call it a perigee moon because about 59 minutes before the eclipse is midway through, we have perigee, where the moon is closest to Earth. And if you want to call it a supermoon, that's great. If it makes you come out and observe the event, that's even better. But there's not that much super about it. It's just a little bigger and a little brighter than usual.
So it's not really, orders of magnitude larger by any means.
No, not at all. I mean, the orbit of the moon is slightly elliptical. It's just barely elliptical. So the difference between the closest approach to the moon, perigee, and its greatest distance, apogee, is really not that dramatic. And it's really hard to actually see the difference. You'd really have to photograph it and then do a direct comparison, and then you can measure a difference. But with the naked eye, it looks like a full moon, and it doesn't really look any different.
So, talking about the naked eye, you can see this without eye gear.
That's the great thing about a lunar eclipse. Doesn't require any optical aid or protection whatsoever. For a lunar eclipse, you don't have to have the funny eclipse glasses. You don't even have to use a pair of binoculars or a telescope if you don't want to. It can be enjoyed completely with the naked eye.
So what are you guys going to be looking at during this eclipse? You know, do you have specific parts of the moon that you might want to look at, or just photograph the eclipse, anything?
Yeah, that's my main goal, is to take pictures. You know, today with digital cameras, it's very easy to take a regular sequence of images. And I'm hoping, if the weather works out, I can, you know, make a little time-lapse movie.
In my case, I just want to take a fair number of individual pictures of the moon and stack them and get the cleanest, crispest image I can see at the peak of the eclipse. I'm also really interested in watching when the actual umbra strikes the edge of the moon and starts moving across. I like that, kind of like the timing, to see how long it actually takes and do a direct comparison of what's predicted. It's a little bit of the math and a little bit of the physics tied into this really wonderful astronomical event.
Yeah, and really, we can make calculations of when the eclipse is going to take place, so we think, but it's actually much easier for a solar eclipse than it is for a lunar eclipse, because the size of the umbra and penumbra fluctuates depending on the state of the Earth's atmosphere that day. So you really can't predict the absolute start of a lunar eclipse, like down to the second.
Huh. Well, good thing we have a long time, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you are holding an event that night at around 8 o'clock. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Is that public?
Yeah, we're going to hold a lunar eclipse party. This time we're going to be at Richland Township Park, which is just south of Richland. It's a really great area. Many of us like to observe there on a regular basis. It's very wide open, so you have a great command of the sky. There's no trees in the way or anything. It's nice and flat. And we're just inviting the public out there. We're going to have telescopes and binoculars set up. Some folks will be taking pictures, but maybe you can see the pictures come up on their computer screen, which is fun. And of course, many members will just have their telescopes set up and share views of the sky.
All right. Anything I missed? Anything else to talk about with these with this eclipse?
Just kind of the little tidbit is, this is the last type of eclipse we see before the big one in 2017, when we get to see a total solar eclipse across the continental U.S., The next lunar eclipse after this one is January 2019, and as you know, Michigan is exceedingly cloudy at that time of the year, so this one coming up on September 27th is a really good shot, so we got to hope it's clear.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this. Again, it's our last big one for a while. We got a couple of years before anything really exciting happens again, and we're kind of getting geared up for the solar eclipse, but this is one more shot at a lunar eclipse, and everybody loves to look at those.
All right. Well, Mike Sinclair, Richard Bell from the Kalamazoo Astronomical Society, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.